Good morning. Today's Daf Msachim Tes Zayin. We are in Tes Vav Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to just take a short step backwards. We're going to start from the words Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, right in the middle of Tes Vav Amud Beis. We're in the sugya of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim, and this is going to be day three, as we already pointed out. The last third of the first parak of Psachim is dedicated to one particular sugya, and that is Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. It has to deal with Tum and Tahara. A week of the Gemara, 7 days of Gemara, dedicated to the topic of Tumah Tahara, which is normally not discussed in Talmud Bavli. The Bavli does not have a Gemara on Seder Taharos, but nevertheless, the Gemara here is going to be using an opportunity, a Mishnah tucked away here in the end of the first paragraph of Psachim, to speak in detail, in length, about the topic of Tumah Tahara. As a quick recap of the last 2 days, so on Yudalid, so we had two shitas, Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim and that of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim says that you could take basar, which becomes tummy through a vlada tumma, burn it together with basar that was tummy with an avatumma, and despite the fact that the basar with the vlada tumma now is going to get elevated in tumma, but nevertheless it's fine, the two of them are going to be burnt anyway, therefore it's fine. Then the shita Rabbi Akiva is a similar shita, oil that becomes tummy from a tvul yom, making the oil a shlishi, in a nair, in a lantern, that is made up of metal that was touched by a tumah mace, which is an avatumah. The lantern itself is an avatumah. And there also, there's going to be an elevation of tumah. The oil that goes in is going to go from a shlishi up to a rishon. But nevertheless, since it's going to be burnt anyway, so therefore it's going to be okay. That would be fine. So those are the two shitas of the Mishnah. And then, of course, Reb Meir. Reb Meir says, well, you get from that the idea that if you have, let's say, on Erev Pesach, Shumah Tahor and Shumah Tameah, and they're both chametz, the truma that we're discussing is chametz, and I need to burn the truma, so under those circumstances, I can burn it together. I, truma tahara, you're not allowed to be metame. You have to make sure that you're shomer, the truma tahara, but nevertheless, since it's going to be burnt, so therefore you can burn them together in one pyre. You don't have to make a separate pyre for the truma tahara and that of the truma tameah. Good. That sheet is Rav Meir. Rav Yossi says, I don't understand how you walked away from that conclusion. That is an outline of the Mishnah. So the first thing that we did with Andaf Yidal is that we clarified the shitas Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim and that of Rabbi Akiva. Then in yesterday's Daf Andaf Tezvav, so then we went to understand how did Reb Meir see it as an analogous scenario. And in yesterday's Daf, we had two approaches in terms of understanding the analogy. The first approach, which the Gemara, when originally presented, does not give any kind of credit to an Amora who said it, but nevertheless, the first approach is as follows. Meat, the basar, this meaning, we'll start with Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. The basar that comes into contact with a vlada tumah, so that is tamei midrabanan. You go back to Rashi on the bottom of Yudam and Beis, and you'll see exactly how we got to that scenario where it's a tumah derabanan, not a tumah daraisa. I went over it yesterday, I'm not going to go over it again right now, but anyway, the vlada tumah is tamei midrabanan, and it's getting burnt together with something which is tamei midaraisa. Which means that midah raisa, we're talking about burning together tuma and tahora. And nevertheless, but once there's a tuma derabanan, it's okay. So now the analogy. So now here on the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, so the tuma tahora. So it's not tame midarabanan, but it's aser midarabanan. During the sixth hour, there is a chiyuv of strefa, and there's an issur derabanan not to eat the chametz at that time. So what Rabbi Meir says is that just like Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim says that I can burn Tumah Derabanan with Tumah D'Oraisa, so too I could burn together an Erev Pesach Issur D'Rabanan together with an Issur D'Oraisa. That is the first approach that we saw yesterday, and that means that Rabbi Meir is actually drawing his conclusion based on the opinion of Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. And then there was the second approach that we went over yesterday, and that was the approach of Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara says that the approach of Rabbi Meir, the analogy that Rabbi Meir is making, is not from our Mishnah. It's not from Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim, and it's not from Rabbi Akiva. And despite the fact, as we clarified yesterday, that Rabbi Yossi didn't originally understand that, and Rabbi Yossi thought that Rabbi Meir was learning it from our Mishnah, it's simply not true. Rabbi Meir did not learn it from our Mishnah, but rather he learned it from another Mishnah. Which Mishnah? A Mishnah in Trumos. A Mishnah in Trumos, in the eighth parak of Masechet Trumos. So the Mishnah over there outlines a scenario in which you have wine that's about to fall into a pit. The wine is made up of Truma Tahara. The pit on the bottom already has Chulin Tameya. And now what happens is that if you allow the wine to go into the pit, So now the wine is going to become tamei, and not only that, but the chulin is going to also get lost, get ruined, not lost. But the chulin is going to get ruined because now you have truma tamei getting mixed in with it. So now nobody can eat anything. Nobody can eat the truma tamei. Nobody can eat the chulin on the bottom. And so therefore, what can you do? Shitas Rabbi Yehoshua in that Mishnah is that you can intercept. You could take a kli which is tamei and prevent and intercept the wine from going to the bottom of the pit, even though you're going to be actively being metame that wine that goes in. It's truma, the truma wine that's going in, and you can actively be metame it. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua in that Mishnah. In that Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua says, Yitamenu biyad. And from that, so now Rabbi Meir says, there you have it. There you have a scenario in which you know that we're going to lose the truma anyway. You know the truma is going to become tummy anyway. And so therefore, you're allowed to intercept. That is Shitas. That's Shitas Rabbi Yehoshua, and that's how Rameir deduces from that Mishnah that it would therefore be okay to burn Shumat Aor and Shumat Tameah on Erev Pesach during the sixth hour. What comes out, however, is that Rav Yossi disagrees. Why does Rav Yossi disagree? So as we learned in yesterday's daf, because even if I do subscribe to the Shita of Rabbi Yehoshua in that Mishnah in Trumos, but there we're talking about a Hefsed Meruba, we're talking about a major loss. If we allow the wine to go into the bottom of the barrel, what is going to happen to that wine? Is that it is going to, the wine is going to get lost. You're going to lose all that wine on the bottom. As opposed to over here, what kind of hefset are we talking about? You have to make a second fire? Okay, that's wood, that's true, but that's not hefset merubah. That's hefset muat. And Rav Yossi says, I still see a distinction between the two cases. Okay, so we just reviewed in 6.5 minutes. We just reviewed the dapim of Yudalin and Tezvav. And now let's begin today's daf. Let's start with Tetzayin. We're going to start from Rabbi Asi Amar Rav Yochanan. It is in the middle of Tezvav Amud Beis, Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan. Machlokus B'sheish, the entire debate of our Mishnah between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir is during the sixth hour. Aval B'sheva, but if it's during the seventh hour. Now the seventh hour, remember, that's from noon to 1 p.m. Divrei Hakol Sorfin, everyone's of the opinion that you can take Truma Tahara, you can take Truma Tameya, and you can burn the two of them together. In one pyre. So Amale Rabbi Zerul Ravasi Namakasav Rav Yochamasi Sambava Tumadarai Sovlada Tumadarabanan. And so now what can we deduce from here? So as we went over this yesterday, at the end of yesterday's shir, we could deduce from here that according to Rav Yochan, he likes that first approach. That first approach that we just chazered in terms of how Rameir makes a deduction, he makes a deduction from our Mishnah, from Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. Why is it that Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim says that you're allowed to burn the two meats together, the meat that becomes tummy with a avatumma together with meat that is tummy with a vladatumma, because he understood it to be that the meat that becomes tummy with a vladatumma is a tumma durabanan, not a tumma daraisa. Now, umay midivre, Rabbi Chanina's gana kohanim. So Amarle in, he says that's excellent analysis. Meaning, and it's analogous to our case over here with Truma Tahara and Truma Tameya, because during the sixth hour, what is that Truma Tahara? It's Isser Durabanan. Now again, like I said already earlier this morning, and like we said yesterday, it is a little bit of a leap. In other words, to go from a Tumma Durabanan to an Issa Durabanan is a bit of a leap, but that's exactly the point. Rameir is ready to make that leap. So they go, the Gemara says it's excellent analysis. Not only is it excellent analysis in Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Yochanan, Masisim Bava Tumma Daraisa Vlada Tumma Durabanan. Rav Yochanan says it clearly that our Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina is going to call on him. It's Tumma Daraisa together with Tumma Durabanan that's being burned together. Omai Medivrei Medivrei Rabbi Chanina is going to call on him. Omachlokus B'sheish Aval B'sheva Divrei Alkol Sorfin. And the whole debate between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is only during the sixth hour. But during the seventh hour, you see, what do we gain during the seventh hour? The Chametz now is Aser Min HaTorah. Aser Min HaTorah. So now we're talking about Nisa Daraisa. Issa Daraisa, I'm going to quote Rashi over here, critical Rashi over here in our sugya. Ein lecha tuma, Rashi divra mascha machlokus b'sheish. Rashi writes that during the seventh hour, ein lecha tuma gedola mizeh. V'divra hako afle Rav Yossi sorfin. So now during the seventh hour, you can't get more tame. Now, Rashi uses the word tuma. Understand that we're talking about chametz on Erev Pesach. It's not tame, it's usser. But the idea is that now the isser is ramped up to an Issa Daraisa. Because now during the seventh hour, we're after noon. Right? Literally, after noon. So at this point in time, now the chametz is an Issa Daraisa. Issa Daraisa, Now we're talking about Tumah Daraisa and Tumah Daraisa. There's no longer a machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. You could burn it. This is all the analysis of Rav Yochanan. Lema misayele. The Gemara says, okay. And now what I think we have over here is a proof to this idea. Why? Because a pickle by nosav atame beishamay armim nisrafim kaachas ubeis hala armim nisrafim kaachas. If I have various disqualified carbonates that are together, pigle, where the carbon was shechted chutz zman or chutz mkomo, nosar, where the carbon was left over after it's a lot of time, tame, where the carbon itself becomes tame. In all those circumstances, can I? They have to be destroyed. It's all disqualified carbon. Can I burn it together? Beis Shammai says no, and Beis Hillel says yes. And what the Gemara now is deducing from here is why could I burn it all together? In other words, what's going to happen is that tamei meat is now going to come into contact with pigle. It's going to come into contact with nosar, making the pigle and the nosar, in addition to its disqualification, it's also going to give it another disqualification, i.e. tumah. And yet you're allowed to burn it together. Why am I allowed to burn it together? So what the Gemara is arguing is that you're allowed to burn it together because pigle and nosar are already isurei d'oraisa. Since they're already isurei d'oraisa, isurei d'oraisa is equivalent to tumah d'oraisa, and therefore you're allowed to burn it together. That seems to be a good proof. The Gemara says it's not a good proof. Shani Hasam, the Islay Tumah Midrabanan. No, because Pigol and Nosar, they are Isurim, and what the Chachamim did is they slapped a Tumah Midrabanan on Pigol and on Nosar. How do I know that? A Mishnah. Didn't I? We learned in the Mishnah, Pigol Vanosar Metamim Mesiyadayim. This is one of the Tumah Siyadayim that we discussed in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, which is that the Chachamim were worried that the Kohanim are not going to be taking care of the pigle and the nosar. Now, I know we always get mixed messages regarding the Kohanim, how careful they are, how not careful they are. Here, just an example of how not careful they are. Right? Rashi on the top of our Amud describes as chashdei kohuna, atzilei kohuna. Okay, the Kohanim over here, sometimes they're not careful about pigle and nosar, even though elsewhere we say Kohanim zrizim. Okay, so admittedly, it's complicated in terms of how we view the Kohanim. But because the Kohanim are not super attentive to Pigol and Nosar, so the Chachamim said, Pigol and Nosar, a Tumah Derabanan is going to be slapped on it. So the reason why, according to Beis Hillel, Pigol, Nosar, and Tameh are allowed to be burnt together is not just because Pigol and Nosar are Isuri D'Oraisa, but on top of that, there's also Tumah by them as well. Okay. Lema Misayele, the Gemara says, okay, how about the following as a support, as a proof for this idea of Rav Yochanan? That once you get to something which is inedible, so therefore you can burn it all together. Hapashi if shevin if salma echola adam akal viachola achla metamitumas ochlim biche beitza. So let's say we have bread. The bread gets moldy. It's more than moldy, right? It's just, whatever. It's no longer edible. And a human can't eat it, but a dog can eat it. Now we are discussing over here in this Mishnah, and we're going to be quoting this Mishnah actually later on in our Masecht as well. The idea of Tumas Ochlin, like we already said, in terms of what is going to be Mekabel Tumah, so we broke it down to four categories. Category number one, Adam. Category number two, Kalim. Category number three, Ochlin. Category number four is Mashkin, is going to be liquids. That's going to be a big part of today's daf. But anyway, over here, we're in category number three of food, and the idea is that a food is going to be able to be Mekabel Tumah, but only when it's edible. Now here, in this particular case, the bread under discussion was originally edible, and now it got moldy. However, a dog could still eat it. The halacha is that a food does not lose its status of being an ochel until it is nifsal mila achilas kelev. Only when a dog can no longer eat it is it no longer going to be food. But as long as the dog can eat it, so then it is still under the category of ochlin. So as long as you have a kebetza of it, that's the shear, so then it's metam to masochlin. Minisrafai metameya bepesach. And here's what you could do. You could burn it on Pesach together with tameya. Okay, so we have over here a scenario in which food is rendered inedible, and yet you're allowed to burn it on Pesach together with food that's tamei. So the Gemara says, so here we have now seemingly an analogous situation. Now over here the bread is not usur per se, I mean it is Pesach and it's chametz, but over here the idea is that it is just simply physically inedible. And so once it's physically inedible, so therefore you'll have to burn it with tameya on Pesach. Over here the Gemara says, well, once something is usur min Torah, so it's not physically inedible, but it's halachically inedible. Isn't it the same? The Gemara says it's not the same. Shani hasam da'afra ba'amahu. So the Gemara says it's not the same because once it's rendered inedible, it's offer, it's dirt. Now, the Gemara over here is mitigated a little bit. It's not total dirt, meaning it's still roi la'achilas kalev. But the idea is that no human's going to eat it. So therefore, you could burn it together with tamea because nobody's going to be eating it anyway. But as opposed to over here, where on Erev Pesach, even during the seventh hour, it's physically edible, it's just halachically not edible, the cases are not perfectly comparable. Okay, the Gemara continues. Ihachi, my mode. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, so within the viewpoint of Rabbi Yochanan, the conclusion of Rabbi Meir, that you're allowed to burn Truma Tahara together with Truma Tameya during the sixth hour, and everyone agrees during the seventh hour. That's Rabbi Yochanan's viewpoint. And all this is derived from our Mishnah itself, from the Shita, Rabbi Chanina, Sigana Kohanim. So then, how did you understand the continuation of the Mishnah? Meaning, go back to our Mishnah, and you look at the end of our Mishnah, Moda. Here's where there's agreement. Right? The Mishnah back on Yudalit, Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Yossi says, Eino Amida, Umodim Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua agree. Now, in the second approach that we saw in yesterday's daf, Bar Kapara, it was Bar Kapara, and it was also Rav Nachman. So according to Bar Kapara and according to Rav Nachman, where the source is coming from, the Mishnah in Trumos, so now you understand that at the end of our Mishnah, so we're introducing the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, because the truth of the matter is that the source of Rabbi Meir is from the Mishnah in Trumos, which is debating the positions of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. However, according to, now we could say it, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the source of Rabbi Meir is not from Rabbi Yoshua, not from Rabbi Eliezer, but rather is coming from Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim, why is our Mishnah here in Pesachim introducing the opinions of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer? What relevancy do they have to our discussion over here? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, this is a continued dialogue between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Meir, I feel the Rabbi Yoshua de Mekel ki Mekel betuluyo tmeya. Look, even Rabbi Yoshua, who is a more lenient position, I'll tell you where his leniency is. If you have truma that is possibly tameh, that's tluya, and I have truma that is definitively tameh, that's tameya, that can be burnt together. That's the limits of the kula of Rabbi Yoshua. Avabatara tameya, lo. But you can't burn tahor and tameya together. Rabbi Yoshua wouldn't go that far. That's what Rabbi Yossi is arguing to Rabbi Meir. So So the Gemara says, okay, now we go back to this approach of Rabbi Yochanan, which was the first approach of yesterday's daf. And now we're looking at the analogy between Rabbi Meir to that of Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim. As long as you assume that the meat, the basar, that comes tummy with a vlada tumma is a tumma de Rabbanan, so the Gemara says, you know what? Rabbi Meir seems to be making a really good point, a rock solid point. If according to Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim, I'm allowed to burn Tuma de Araisa with Tuma de Rabbanan, so then I'm allowed to burn on Erev Pesach during the sixth hour, I'm allowed to burn the Truma Torah and Truma Tameh, because during the sixth hour, it's an Issa de Rabbanan. And so therefore, it's analogous. I'm allowed to burn Tuma de Araisa with Tuma de Rabbanan, so too I'm allowed to burn on Erev Pesach during the sixth hour, Chametz, which is Trumas Chametz, which is Tahara, together with Trumas Chametz, which is Tameh, because the Tahara is Aser mid Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, really, when all said and done, it's analogous. And what is Rav Yossi going to do with the analogy? So I'm Rav Yirmiyahacha, Bebasar Shinitma Bemashkin, Shinitmu Machma Sheretz, Vazda Rav Meir Latameh. So Rav Yirmi says here, let me provide a little more context to our case under our discussion, and so you get to really clearly see the differences between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Look, how did the meat become tummy? The Vlad meat, how did that become tummy? So here's how it became tummy. What happened was, is that you start with the sheretz. Sheretz obviously being an avatama. The sheretz comes into contact with a mashkin. A mashkin is a liquid. Now the liquid itself is going to become tummy. And now the mashkin comes into contact with our basar. So the basar now is going to be a vlad. But how did it become tummy? Through mashke. Now why is that important? As we're about to see, it's going to make all the difference. So the v'azra meil atame v'rav yosel latame. And everyone over here is being consistent. Rav Meir Latame, the Amar Tumas Mashkin Latame Acherim de Rabbanan, because Rav Meir is of the opinion that when Mashke goes ahead and communicates and transmits Tumah to another food, that does not operate on a daraisa level, that only operates on a darabana level. And according to Rav Yossi, Tamei Damar, Tomas Mashkin, Tamei Acherim, daraisa. And Rav Yossi is of the position that when Mashka goes ahead, Mashka, which is Tamei, goes ahead and transmits Tumah to another food, that transmission is a daraisa transmission. And basically what we're about to see now, and it'll really take us through the remainder of today's daf, is now going to be the status of Mashkin and Tumah. And the Gemara now is presenting. Rav Meir and Rav Yossi are arguing that when Mashke, which is Tamei, goes and makes contact with another food, is that a Tumah da'oraisa transmission or not? And the Gemara is presenting now the two positions. Rav Meir says that it is not a Tumah da'oraisa transmission, albeit it's a Tumah da'rabanan transmission, but not a Tumah da'oraisa transmission. And Rav Yossi says no. Mashkin or mitame mid'oraisa. The transmission of the Tumah from Mashkin to another food is a daraisa transmission. Now you understand, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi are not going to see eye to eye in our case over here, in the case of Rabbi Chanin's Gan HaKohanim. Because according to Rav Meir, how does he see that case? Ultimately, the Vlad Atum is Tamei on what level? Derabanan. You're now burning together Basar, which is Tamei min HaTorah, together with Basar, which is Tamei min Derabanan. Perfect. Analogous to the case of Truma Tahor and Truma Tamea on Erev Pesach during the sixth hour. Tumah derabanan, issa derabanan. Hainu hach, it's the same thing. Whereas according to Rav Yossi, what are you talking about? It's not the same thing. Because under our discussion of the basar, the vlad atumah is tame on what level? Not on a derabanan level, but rather on a daraisa level. And that's where we have the core machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. And now as we turn to today's daf, Tazayin Amud Aleph, now we get to see all this inside. D'tanya, we learned in a braisa. Safik mashkin li tame. Litame acherim tahor divrei Rabbi Meir. So let's say we have suffik mashkin. Okay, we do not know whether or not the liquid becomes tame or not. Right? Rashi over here provides a scenario for our purposes right now. Let's say it succinctly. It's a suffik. We do not know if the mashka itself becomes tame. Litame with the yud. That means it itself becomes tame. So what's the halacha by the mashka itself? Tame. Why? Because it's a suffik da oraisa. Meaning mashkim are susceptible to becoming tameh. And we have a question as to whether it did or did not. So therefore, the halach is tameh. However, the tameh acherim. But if, however, the mashka then in turn possibly made contact with another food. So now, according to Rav Meir, what is that? That transmission is not a transmission of the araisa, but rather that's a transmission of tumah midarabanan. And so therefore, now we're talking about a suffik derabanan, tahor. That's all the viewpoint of Rav Meir. So clearly in this braisa, it's clear that, according to Rav Meir, mash can become tame on a daraisa level, but to be metame others, that only is derabanan and not daraisa. V'chein haya Rabbi Elazar omer kidvarav. Rabbi Elazar agrees with that, the position of Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer lachol tame. Now Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that mash can metame everything, even kalim. Now we're going to come back to that later. Put that on the back burner. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Lochlim and Tameim Lakelim Taharim. And Rabbi Yossi says that Mashkin are Mitame Ochlin on a Daraisa level, but not Mitame Kalim. Good. Circle over here the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. In other words, in this Braisa, we have now clearly articulated the positions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir is of the position that Mashkin mean Mitame other foods is only midrabanan, not midaraisa. That's why in the case of suffik, we're going to be mekel, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi, or even in a possible contact, since mashkin are metame other foods minatara, so therefore in the suffik, we're going to be machmir. Good. This of a Rabbi Lazar mashkin, islu tumah ba'olam v'atanya. So the Gemara says, good. In this braisa, we just learned together now, the sheet is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. And in the braisa, it said, oh, and by the way, Rabbi Lazar agrees with Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara immediately picks up on that. The Gemara says, I don't think that we can corroborate that information. I don't think Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Meir. How do I know that? Because of the following. V'savar Rabbi Elazar mashkin islu tumah ba'olam v'atanya. Why don't we consider the following braisa? Rabbi Elazar omer ein tumah l'mashkin kol ikar. Rabbi Elazar is of the position that there is no tumah for mashkin at all. Meaning, if you ask Rabbi Elazar, what are the categories that could become tameh? Right? Instead of having four categories of Adam, Kalim, Ochlin, and mashkin, Rabbi Elazar will tell you that there are only three categories of only Adam, Kalim, and Ochlin. And Rabbi Elazar seemingly is telling you there's just simply no Tumah by Mashkin whatsoever. Teda, and he says, and you should know, Sha'rei Hayid, Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda, I'm sorry, al ayol kamsa dachain. First of all, a particular grasshopper known as the ayol kamsa. So dachain over here means tahor. Tahor in this context means it's kosher. Okay, there was a certain grasshopper that was open for discussion, debate, in terms of whether it was kosher or not kosher. The Torah does outline a number of kosher grasshoppers, four in total, and there was a particular species of grasshoppers, and a debate as to whether or not it falls into the category one of the four. Obviously not relevant to our discussion, but it's part of the memra. The al mashkin base mit bechaya dachain. And on top of that, all the liquids in the base of Mikdash. Liquids in the base of Mikdash, meaning you're shechting in the azara of the base of Mikdash. There is plenty of blood and plenty of water around, and that blood and the water are all dachain. The blood obviously coming from the animal, the water that's used to clean the animals after you shech them. So they are dachain. Dachain over here means tahor. Yes, it's true. The word dachain is used in this brisa two times, one in terms of kashrus, and the other in terms of tum and tahara. But that's fine. Anyway, the point over here is that we have a statement made by Rebbe Lazar, and using the statement of the Eidus of Yossi ben Yoezer, which is that mashkin are simply not tame. They do not become tame, not eligible to becoming tame. Okay, now, what happens is that we obviously have a problem, because we said that Rebbe Lazar agrees with Rebbe Meir. What did Rebbe Meir say? That mashkin can become tame on a doraisa level, but simply does not transmit tama to another food on a daraisa level. And meanwhile, and the Brisa said that Rebbe Lazar agrees with Rebbe Meir. And now we just learned together that Rebbe Lazar is quoting Yossi ben Yoezer. And as the second statement goes, the mashkin of the basement Bachaya are simply not eligible to become tama at all. Now, now it happens to be that in that Mishnah that we just quoted regarding Yossi ben Yoezer, machlokus between Shmuel and Rav. Shmuel happens to be of the opinion that all Yossi ben Yoezer meant as it relates to the liquid in the Azara, the blood in the water, is that it's not able to be metame others, but it itself becomes tame. That's what he meant by the word dachain. So then the truth of the matter is that according to Shmuel's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer, we're fine. We actually have perfect agreement between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. So it happens to be that according to Shmuel, the question does not get off the ground. However, Ela l'Rav d'Amar dachain mamish ma'ikal amemar. But according to Rav, who says dachain means tahor, and tahor legamre, meaning that mashkin are simply not eligible to become tame at all, so that obviously presents a problem. So ma'ikal amemar, so what are you going to say under those circumstances? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak, achada. So the Gemara says, well, what we could say is that Rebbe Lazar was only commenting on one of the statements but not on both of the statements. So the Gemara says, really? That doesn't seem to be plausible. So v'ha kidvarav kamar, it does say kidvarav, which means it's on both statements, and the nefishi, which means multiple statements, v'od v'ha v'chein ketani, and on top of that, it also says the words v'chein, meaning look at the braisa at the top of the amud. Right, when introducing the opinion of Rebbe Lazar, v'chein haya Rebbe Lazar, it sounds like Rebbe Lazar is in perfect agreement with Rebbe Meir. And on top of that, it also says the words Omer Kidvarav. It's saying like his words, meaning both of the statements of Rebbe Meir. Okay, so the Gemara says Kasha, the Gemara says you're right. So when all said and done, okay, it seems to be that we do not have alignment between the sheets of Rebbe Lazar. In one brisa, we have Rebbe Lazar perfectly agreeing with Rebbe Meir that liquids are Minatora able to receive Tumah, but not able to transmit Tumah. And then we also have Rebbe Lazar citing Yossi ben Yoezer that says that in the basement Bechaya, the blood and the water there are not Tame at all. Not to transmit, not to receive. At least according to Rav's viewpoint. So within Rav's viewpoint, so we don't have alignment within Rebbe Lazar. Okay, Gufa. And now for the remainder of today's daf. So what we're going to be discussing is whether or not liquids themselves are going to become Tame. And as we saw, it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara is going to do what it classically does. It's going to go back and revisit this machlokes. Gufa. Rav amar dachin mamashu, Shmuel amar dachin melatami tumas acherin, aval tumas atzman yesh lahem. So the Gemara first presents the sheet as Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that liquids are not tame at all, not to receive and certainly not to transmit. According to Shmuel, liquids min haTorah do receive, but don't transmit the tumah. So Rav says, look, I know you're going to see a lot of times throughout Mishnayos and throughout Gemaras about Mashkin transmitting Tumah, that's all on a rabbinic level. But min haTorah, liquids are simply not part of the Tumah discussion. And what Rav will tell you is that, look, that's outside of the purview of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, so as part of the general idea, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that there are no rabbinic legislation in the Mikdash, and we know there are always exceptions to that rule, but there are no rabbinic legislations in the Mishnah, in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, what the Chachamim did is they waived the Tumah of the Rabbanan by Mashkin altogether, which is what we learned together by Yossi ben Yoezer. Now Shmuel says that when it comes to Mashkin, they are going to be able to receive Tuma, simply not transmit Tuma on a Doraisa level. Kasavr Shmuel is of the position Tumas Mashkin Atzman Doraisa, that it itself becoming Tame, the Mashkin themselves becoming Tame, operates on a Doraisa level. However, Latame Acherin Derabanan, but to transmit Tumah to others, that's a Din Derabanan, Vechigaz Rabanan, Bemashkin Da'ama, Bemashkin Beis Mitbachai Lo Gazar. But that's only outside the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Chachamim did not slap on that Tumah Derabanan. But again, according to Shmuel, what Tumah Derabanan? Only the Tumah Derabanan of transmitting to others. But according to Shmuel's understanding of Yossi ben Yoezer, the Mashkin themselves do become Tameh, just simply don't transmit it to others. And the Gemara just simply hammers that point home, that as far as Shmuel is concerned, in the Beis HaMikdash, the only relaxation is the transmission from the Mashkin to other foods. But as far as the Mashkin themselves are concerned, they become Tameh. Why? Because according to Shmuel, that's a Din D'Oraisa. And obviously the Chachamim have no ability to relax a Din D'Oraisa. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinna Lebrei. Rav Huna Bar Chinna says to his son the following: Ki Ailita Lekama De Rav Papa. Do me a favor. You're going to go visit Rav Papa. You're learning by Rav Papa. Ramilei Mi Amar Shmuel Dachim Latami Tomas Achern Aval Tomas Atzman Yesh Lahen. So, can you do me a favor? Could you ask Rav Papa the following question? I want to go over the sheet of Shmuel based on and look at it in the context of the following psukim. Kari Khan. Let's first take a look at the following psukim, the following pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Zayin, Va'abasar she'igah b'chol tamid lo yachel, that when meat comes into contact with any tumah, you're not allowed to eat that meat. So Amar of Shisha Beret. Now the pasuk in context is talking about the meat that is found in a kli cheres, and when I have anything in the kli cheres, meaning seemingly the pasuk is describing either you have food in the kli cheres, or you have mashkin in the kli cheres, it becomes tameh. And then subsequently, when it goes and it touches meat, so that meat is going to become tameh. Okay, that's a simple reading of the pasuk. Now, the simple reading leads us to the conclusion that A, mashkin become tameh, and B, mashkin also is going to be mitameh. It's going to transmit tumah. Okay, that seems to be a problem. So, Amar Rav Shisha Berei Deravidi Mididuhu Mididuhave Arevia Bekodesh. So, the Gemara suggests the following. Well, maybe we could view it as a revi b'kodesh, meaning that we know that when it comes to kodesh, so how many levels of tumah does it go? Rishon, sheni, shlishi, and even up to a revi. Right? We haven't established it yet in our perek, but we've said it already numerous times, and we know that's so. That kodesh can go upwards up to a revi. That means to say from the av ha-tumah, so there could be another three transmissions after that to the point where you have now basa, which is a revi. But after that, it no longer can pass on that tumah. So maybe the mashkin that's in the kli cheres is analogous to basar, which is a revi. So maskal ravashi revi b'kodesh lo ikri tameh hai ikri tameh. So the Gemara says, really, I find that hard to believe, because in the pasuk it describes anything in the kli cheres as being tameh. As we've gone over the definitions here in the world of tumah tahara, tameh means not only does it receive tumah, but it also has the ability to transmit tumah. When you get to Kodesh, which is a Revi'i, we don't call it Tameh. We have a different word to describe it. It's called Pusel. So the Gemara says, it's not the same Kasher. The Gemara says, okay, yeah, you're right, but I'm not sure if that's the most difficult question, but the Gemara leaves it as simply, okay, that's a good point. Tashma. The Gemara says, okay, let's quote another Pusik. V'chol mashke she yishase v'chol kli yitma, that any mashke that you drink that's in any kli becomes Tameh. So my yitma. So now the word yitma over there, what does that mean? So the Gemara assumes, I'll tell you what it means. It means hechsher. It means only that the liquid is serving as a hechsher, but not that the liquid actually is going to be a source of tumah. So the Gemara says, Hichshir Mireisha Dekrasha Masle. What are you talking about? You're understanding that pasuk as a halacha in Hechsherin, that when the liquid comes into contact with the food, now the food becomes eligible to become Tameh. That's how you're understanding the pasuk. Hechsher was already introduced earlier in that perek. Mikol Alcher Sher Yachel. We already have a pasuk that clearly outlines the halachas of Hechsher. And now you want to take the pasuk of Chomashke Asher Yishase V'chol Kli Yitma. You want to tell me that that's also talking about Hechsher? That's a redundancy. So the Gemara says, not really. Chad betlushin v'chad b'mechubarim. There are two halachas of Hechsher. Liquid when connected to the ground, liquid after it's detached from the ground. Utzrich, and they're both necessary, meaning both can serve as the Hechsher. D'i ashmin and betlushin, because when liquid is detached from the ground, i.e. I drew the water out of the ground. So mishum da'achshavinu, be over there, I drew it out of the ground, clearly I have an interest in that liquid. That liquid is going to serve as a Hechsher. But when it's connected to the ground, I might have made the argument, I haven't drawn it yet from the ground yet. That liquid shouldn't serve as a Hechsher. And now the Gemara is going to argue in the other direction. When the liquid is connected to the ground, meaning it's just simply in the ground, it's in its natural spring, it's in its natural pool of water, so then it's chashuv. But once I collect it, so I am alone, I might have thought that it doesn't serve as a hechsher tzricha, therefore they're both necessary. To be clear, what the Gemara now has just suggested is that these two psukim have nothing to do with tumah, but have everything to do with hechsher. And that means to say that we need two psukim by hechsher, because when liquid, both in the ground, and also when collected from the ground, are going to be serving as a machshir. Meaning those liquid, when coming into contact with the food, make the food eligible to become tumah. And also, to be clear, as far as food is concerned, food only can receive hechsher only after it's detached. You have to say that. We know that's true. What happens? The food is growing on the ground and it rains, and you want to tell me now that the food is mukshul kabel tumah? It's simply not true. It's not correct. Food only becomes eligible to becoming, to receiving hechsher only after it's detached. Our discussion over here is regarding the liquid that is actually being used as the hechsher, creating the hechsher. So for that, we need two psukim, the Gemara argues, because one pasuk is for the liquid that is connected to the ground, and the other one's talking about when the liquid's detached. Tashma, again, the Gemara challenges once again. We are on the positions of Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that liquid simply is not tummy at all, neither for reception nor for transmission. And Shmuel's of the position that Mashkin can receive tumma but cannot transmit tumma. So within these two positions now, we're citing a number of psukim in Parshat Tzav and Parshat Shmini that seem to indicate that liquids do become tamei, and the Gemara now is just simply navigating through the psukim. Tashma, we are towards the bottom of the Amud. Ach ma'ayan uvor mikvah mayim yeh taor, that when you have a wellspring or a collected body of water, so they are tahor. So my yiyeh tahor mitumaso. So would seem to indicate that tahor means that it's not eligible to becoming tameh. Why? Because it's in ground. The implication would be once it's no longer in ground, once I take it out, it's now eligible to become tameh. That's going to be difficult for both Rav and for Shmuel. Utzlushim mi machshirin va'amar Rav Yosi Rabbi Chanina mashkin beis mitbachaya. So the Gemara says. So my yeh tahor, this is the Gemara's answer. Okay, I just ran over the answer of the Gemara, so I'm just going to take a short step backwards. The Gemara now is responding. My yeh tahor mitumaso. So the Gemara says no. What the pasuk just simply means is that when the water's in ground, both the mayan and the mikveh mayim, when the water's in ground, so then it could serve as the tahara. But once the water is taken out, it could no longer serve as the tahara. Why? Because now it's shuvim. Because now it's not. Now it's mayim shuvim. So the Gemara says utlushim yimachshirin. So the Gemara says fine. So I see how you sidestepped all these psukim. But the Gemara says you're telling me that when liquid is collected from the ground, so it still serves as a machshir. Are you right about that point? So the Gemara says, look, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says the liquids in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Not only are the blood and the water going to be not eligible for Tumah, ela she'ein machshirin. So the Gemara says on top of that, they're also not going to be a machshir as well. You just taught me, based on the Psukim, that liquids both in ground and even when they're taken out of the ground are going to be a machshir. Meanwhile, we have a tradition going back to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina that in the basement Bechaya, not tame, not machshir. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what, Tirgama Aldam. No, that's only talking about blood, specifically blood. It's a special halacha in Dam Kachim that it's not a machshir. How do I know that? It's based on a drasha. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Al ha'aretz tishpachanu kamayim, dam shenishpach kamayim machshir, dam she'eino nishpach kamayim, eino machshir." Okay, it's a special halacha when it comes to dam kachim that since it is eino nishpach kamayim, it's not going to be poured onto the ground. Meaning, outside of the base of Mikdash, when you shecht an animal, what happens to the blood? It goes down to the ground, right? And in certain circumstances, right by chai and by oath, there's a mitzvah of kisui. But in other words, but the blood goes on the ground. But basar kachim, the blood doesn't go on the ground. In fact, just the opposite. The blood has to be collected in a kos and then sprinkled on the mizbeach. Anyway, it's a special halacha that relates to dam kachim that's not a machshir. That's all we're saying. So maskev la Rav Shmuel bar Ami hare dam tamsis denishbach kamayim ve'eino machshir. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to press on this point. What about dam tamsis? Dam tamsis is blood after the initial rush. You shecht an animal. The first blood that comes out, that's the lifeblood, that's dam nefesh, that's what we just discussed. Then afterwards, trickling of blood that comes out after that. That in halacha is referred to as dam tamsis. Now, dam tamsis is not going to be collected in the kos and is not sprinkled on the mizbech. In fact, it is not eligible to be sprinkled on the mizbech. The only blood that can be sprinkled on the mizbech is only the dam nefesh, not the dam tamsis. Now, we know that the dam tamsis is eino machshir. Hari damatamsis in ishbachamayim eino machshir. So amale Rabbi Zera, hanach la damatamsis dafila b'chulin nami lo machshir. So the Gemara says damatamsis. So even by chulin, it's not going to be a machshir. Meaning, look, in terms of echsherim, so what do we know when it comes to the liquids that are a machshir? There are seven liquids that we know. We also know that of the seven liquids, one of them is dam. Good. In terms of blood serving as a machshir, only the dam hanefesh is going to be serving as a machshir. All other bloods that come of the animal do not have the status of dam as it relates to hechsher. Okay, and it's based on psukim, it's based on drashas. Rashi over here quotes it. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says so. It's what you're asking is not a question because, to be frank, you don't know the halachas of hechsher. Hechsher as it relates to blood. Only the dam nefesh is eligible to be a hechsher, and the dam nefesh of a karban, based on a separate drasha, is not going to be a machshir. So that means now that we significantly limited, which bloods are serving as a machshir. It's only dam nefesh, and it's only the dam nefesh of chulin, not of a karban. Okay. The Gemara continues. Kiblim inei Rav Shmuel bar Ami da Amar Rachman Rach Hazek Levilti Achol Adam Ki Adam O Nefesh. And not only that, but when Rav Shmuel bar Ami hears this, he says, you are absolutely right. The pasuk says, "Rak chazak levilti achol adam parshas rei ki adamu anefesh." Right, the blood is a life force. Dam she anefesh yotze bo kari dam. Dam she ina nefesh yotze bo eino kari dam. Only the blood, which is a life force, only the dam anefesh is called dam. Everything else is not called dam min haTorah. Now, in terms of the isurim of achil of eating it, okay, good. So that is a discussion that we saw back in the beginning of Masechta Krisos, right? Early in that Masechta. Davav, if I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken, regardless. But in terms of being a machshir, so only the dam nefesh is a machshir, all other bloods that come out of the animal, dam tamsis and dam hakaza, are simply not a machshir. Tashma. Okay, where are we? We're still on the same topic as we were about 20 minutes ago, which is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as it relates to Mashkin. Again, according to Shitas Rav, as he understood the Mishnah regarding Yossi ben Yoezer, so Mashkin are not metame at all, not in terms of reception and certainly not in terms of transmission. Yes, there is a Tumah Derabanan when it comes to Mashkin, but min haTorah, Mashkin are just simply not Mashkin are not susceptible to Tumah. Meanwhile, according to the Shita of Shmuel, Mashkin are going to be able to receive Tumah min haTorah, just simply not transmit Tumah min haTorah. Again, midrabbanan, according to Shmuel, it is able to transmit Tumah, but min haTorah, it does not transmit Tumah, but it does receive. The Gemara, once again, are going to go over Psukim, which we did on the Amud Aleph, and now Mishnayos, which we're going to do right now, which would seem to indicate otherwise. Tashma. Damshin nitma v'zarka b'shogeg hurtza b'mezid lo hurtza. So this is a discussion that we're going to do much better later in the Masechta regarding the blood which was tameh and ultimately was sprinkled on the mizbech. And you have a ritzui. Now the tzitz is meratza. Now if you don't know what that means right now, so I'll please forgive me for not going into any detail, but just for our purposes right now, suffice to say that when the blood is sprinkled on the mizbech and it's tameh, so if it was done inadvertently, the Kohanim did it, but not mindful of what they were doing, so then it creates a ritzui. It works. Bemezid lo hurtza. And if it's done bemezid, so then lo hurtza. Now Rashi over here does go over the idea that the carbon works, is that the Kohanim are not allowed to eat the carbon. Okay, many details to go over right now, but in terms of relevancy for our discussion, what becomes clear over here is that we're having a discussion where the premise of the discussion is that blood can become tamei. Now, according to Rav, how does that work? How can blood become tamei? Rav is of the position that mashkin are simply ineligible for tumah min haTorah. So the Gemara says, midrabbanan deloka Rav Yossi ben Yoezer ish shreida. So the Gemara says that the tumah under discussion over here is the tumah derabbanan. Now the Gemara immediately notes, and it's not going like Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer ish shreida, because if you recall, on the Amud Aleph, we learned an edus from Yossi ben Yoezer ish shreida that it's dachein, that it's totally tahor, meaning not tumah min haTorah, and not even tumah midrabbanan. In the Beis HaMikdash, Yossi ben Yoezer said, a full relaxation of the Gzera Tumah D'Rabbanan that exists on Mashkin. Okay, good. So what we'll say over here is that this mission that we just quoted, having a discussion about Dam being Tameh, so that is a Tumah D'Rabbanan, meaning we're going to defend Rav. It's a Tumah D'Rabbanan, but you're also going to have to say is that it's not in agreement with Yossi ben Yoezer. Tashma, the Gemara says, Amat, it's Meratza, Ala Dam, Ve'ala Basar, Ve'ala Chelev. Shinitma, Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Onis, Bein B'Ratzon, Bein B'Yachid, Bein B'Tzibur. Over here again, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and again, without going into the details of the tzitz being Maratza, clearly this Braisa is entertaining the idea that blood is eligible to become Tameh. And nevertheless, when sprinkled on the Mizbeach, so the tzitz has the power to override. So once again, this is difficult for Rav, because according to Rav, Rav says that blood is not Tameh at all. Again, the Gemara's defense over here is the same defense. So the Gemara says, Midrabbanan. Once again, it's a Dindrabbanan. Udelo ki Yossi ben Yoezer Ishreda. And again, the Gemara says, it's not holding like the position of Rav Yossi ben Yoezer Ishreda, who says it's not even a Tumah Derabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash. Tashma, let's do one more for this morning. V'nasa Aaron es Avon HaKadoshim v'chiyeza Avon hu Nosei. Right? Aaron is able to override a couple of disqualifications. Im avon pigal harekvar nemar lo yiratzei, im avon nosa harekvar nemar lo yichashev. So he can't override nosar, and he can't override pigal. In this particular brisa, the word nosar over here means chutzim kamo. Okay, again, I don't want to get involved too much in the details right now, but just you'll trust me, and better yet, you look at Rashi where Rashi says it. That's more important than trusting me. So, but either way, the point is that what Aaron cannot do, even with his big day kahuna, even with his tzitz, is that he cannot override the disqualifications of chutzas mano and chutzas limkomo. Ha'ein ono se ella avon tuma sheutra michalala b'tzibor. What he can override is tuma, meaning that if the blood becomes tameh, so Aaron can override it. So my love tumas dam. So over here, are we not talking about the tuma of blood? And if we are talking about the tumah of blood, so now I lost count this morning, but now already for the whatever number we are up to, for the umpteenth time, so now it seems to indicate that blood is eligible to become tameh. And once again, this serves as a difficulty for the position of Rav. So Amar Rav Papa lo tumas kametzim. So Rav Papa says no, we're talking about the komets. Now with the komets, what is the komets? The komets is a mixture of flour and oil. Flour and oil, when mixed together, when constituted together, so it is eligible to become tameh. And even though oil is a liquid, but as part of a mincha, the oil is blended together with the flour, and so therefore it no longer has the status of a liquid, now has the status of a solid. That's eligible to become tameh. That's what the Bryce is describing. Okay, Ad Kan. Tomorrow we start with a pasuk of Chagai. and a test that Chag I gave to the Kohanim. That's where we begin tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's review. Let's recap our daf today. We started off our morning going over the back and forth between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Meir says that you could take Truma Tahor and Truma Tameya, burn them together on Erev Pesach during the sixth hour. And Rabbi Yochanan says, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, you cannot do that. And the question of where Rabbi Meir got his halacha from. So, to just quickly, succinctly summarize the first part of today's daf, so Rabbi Yochanan's viewpoint is that Rabbi Meir got it from Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim. And then the subsequent discussion of how did you understand the balance of the Mishnah? Because in the end of the Mishnah, we're talking about Rabbi Yeshua, and we're talking about Rabbi Eliezer, and what does that have to do anything with Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim? The answer is really nothing, but the Gemara went on to explain how Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer became part of the conversation. Then, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, I'm going to explain better what's at the source of the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi in terms of how they looked at Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim, and they both walked away with different conclusions. And again, to say it succinctly, the case of Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim is that the sheretz came into contact with a liquid, and the liquid came into contact with the basar. So now the basar is a vlada tuma, but how did it become tameh? Through a liquid. And here's the core of the debate. Rabbi Meir says transmission of tuma from a liquid to basar does not operate on a daraisa level, only operates on a derabbanan level. That's why when Rabbi Chanina is allowing you to burn the two together, what are you burning? Tuma daraisa with tuma derabbanan. Perfectly analogous to the case of Erev Pesach, where I'm burning Truma Tahara, Truma Tameya, where the Truma Tahara is Aser Midrabanan. Good. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, in our case, where the Sheretz comes into contact with Mashkin, and the Mashkin comes into contact with Mead, that transmission of Tuma operates on a Da'araisa level. Okay. Therefore, once that's true, so then Rabbi Chanina's allowance to burn the meats together, it's Tuma Da'araisa, having now no analogy whatsoever with our case of the burning of Truma Tahara, Truma Tameya on Erev Pesach during the sixth hour. Good. Then, from that point going forward, we quoted a Mishnah regarding Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezri Shreda, who says that the liquids in the Beis HaMikdash are Tahor, and a machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. What does that mean, Tahor? So Rav takes a really extreme position. Liquids, min HaTorah, do not receive Tuma and certainly do not transmit. Now Shmuel takes a modified position. Min HaTorah liquids receive Tuma, but do not transmit Tuma. And those are the two understandings of Rav Yossi ben Yoezer. Right? In the summary, I did skip a lot of details regarding the Shita of Rebbe Lazar, whether he's in agreement with Rav Meir, not agreement with Rav Meir, sorry. Anyway, the bulk of today's daf is revolving around the Shitas of Rav and Shmuel regarding Mashkin. Rav takes an extraordinarily extreme viewpoint, whereas according to Rav, Mashkin simply are not Tamei Min HaTorah. Now, Midrabanan, according to Rav, there is Tuma, both in terms of reception and in terms of transmission. But Midaraisa, there is no Tuma. And according to Rav, his understanding of Rav Yossi ben Yoezer is that in the Beis HaMikdash, a relaxation of the Tuma Derabanan, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, we go back to the Din Daraisa, which is Mashkin are not Tamei at all. And then for the balance of today's daf, we went through an assortment of psukim in Parshat Tzav, in Parshat Shmini, where it seems to indicate that liquids do become Tamei. The Gemara sidestepped all those psukim. Then on the Amud Beis of today's daf, we went through a series of Mishnayos that seemed to indicate that blood is Tamei on a Daraisa level, and the Gemara once again sidestepped those as well. Adkan.